Pagbati sa inyo mga kapatid at mga kaibigan sa pangalan ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo sa pagpapatuloy ng ating pag-aaral sa ating Sunday School ng Paksang Christian Holiness. Tayo ngayon ay nasa bahagi na pinag-aaralan natin ang tinatawag na popular errors. Ito ang mga kamalian na tinatanggap ng maraming evangelicals at itinuturo at hindi nalalaman ng marami ang kanilang tinatangkilik ay mga kamalian. Itinitindig natin ito sa paniniwala that doctrinal integrity is an imperative for practical holiness, maliwanag sa salita ng Diyos, ang pagdurugtong ng doktrina at sa kabanalan kung saan sinabi ni Apostle Paul na kapag hindi natin tinuro what he calls the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, etc. Kaya't makikita natin dito that many are deceived by false teachings that compromise genuine holiness. Sayaw nila ng katuruan at akala nila ay maaari silang maging banal na walang nararapat na tinatanggap na katuruan. Now, this comes back to the ministry because a faithful ministry requires that warning be raised against popular errors on holiness. Hindi naman natin tinatalakay lahat ng mga kamalian, kundi ang mga kamalian na nagiging popular at tinatanggap at tinatangkilik ng maraming evangelicals. Tinignan natin dito ang perfectionism at last week we looked at hypergrace. Sisimulan nating tingnan and we may take several lectures on this. Ang maaring masasabi nating pinakapopular na tinatangkilik ng maraming evangelicals ang tinatawag na higher life teaching. Now, the most succinct summary of higher life teaching is that it is teaching that holiness is a second turning point after conversion, o tinatawag nilang second blessing. Meron kang conversion, pero there is a higher life that you must aspire after, and that is holiness or the second blessing. Now, this comes from the holiness movement that began in America. The holiness movement is a form of perfectionism, but later on it was exported to the United Kingdom or to Great Britain by a couple. And these are Robert Purcell Smith and his wife, Hannah Whitehall Smith. Now, of the two, it's the wife, Hannah, who bequeathed a more important legacy to this movement because of a book that she has published. This became the key book for this movement, and that is The Christian Secret of a Happy Life. This was published in 1875, and this book became hugely popular. Naging napakapopular at naging batayan ng maraming pagtuturo ng higher life movement. But besides this book, we must also understand that because of the name that now they have as an attraction, they began a series of annual conferences, and this began in 1876, which came to be known as the Keswick Conference. Keswick is a place in England, and here is one of the original Keswick conferences. At makikita natin ang dalawa na ang mag-asawa na talagang nangunguna sa ganitong konferensya. Now, this is now the longest ongoing annual conference that is evangelical. So, simula pa ng 1876, this has been going on for more than 100 years. This is now being done in various places in the world, but it has retained the name Keswick. As far as Keswick Conference is concerned, it has no doctrinal distinctive, although it is broadly evangelical, but its real commitment is just to the slogan, all one in Christ Jesus. So there is no commitment as to whether it is reformed or non-reformed, but its commitment is for all evangelicals to unite in the cause of holiness. So the higher life teaching is also known as the Keswick position because of the influence of the Keswick conference. And as to the popularity of this position, we can attribute this to the Scofield Bible. The higher life position was popularized by the Scofield Bible, as you know, and those who have the Scofield Bible, the Scofield Bible has notes that became in many cases helpful to readers dahil wala silang commentary o maaaring ayaw nilang sila mismo ang mag-aral. So they look at the Scofield Bible as providing to them some comments that they need to understand the text further. Unfortunately, many of the comments of Scofield are not correct, and he popularized many teachings that would have been obscure were it not for the Scofield Study Bible. One, as a case, is that of dispensationalism, and of course the other is the Higher Life Movement. Many read the Scofield Bible accepting its notes uncritically, and because of that, we have in the matter of holiness, the Higher Life teaching is now adopted by many evangelicals, consciously or unconsciously. Consciously meaning they know that this is the Higher Life position and they adopt it with full conscious acceptance of the teaching and premises, while for most others, they are simply taught it, na ituturo sa kanila, pero hindi nila alam na ito ay Higher Life position at inaakala lang nila na ganito ang posisyon ng maraming evangelicals. So how can we approach the Higher Life teaching? Dahil ito ang pinakapopular ay hindi natin ito bibigyan ng isang bagsakan na mga pagtuturo nila and then refute and then move on. Ang gusto kong gawin ay himayin ang kanilang mga iba't ibang konsepto at ipakita ang kamalian ng konseptong iyon, at it will take us about 2 or 3 lectures, but I think it is worth our while to understand what probably some of you are adapting as well, again consciously or unconsciously. So sa ating lecture ngayon, dalawang konsepto ang aking gustong tingnan at ilantad ang kamalian. Ang una rito ay ang paniniwala that there is a gap that exists between justification, which is a conversion, and holiness or sanctification. May pagitan sa pagpapawalang sala na tinanggap natin ang tayo maligtas at ang pagpapakabanal. Ang pagitan na yan ay maaring matagal na panahon at maaring mangyari pa na maging converted, justified, but never sanctified. But that is the point. At conversion, the believer, it is believed that the higher life only, and I put the word only in quotation marks because that shows the low view of the higher life position on what happened in conversion. So it's only receiving salvation, and salvation is equated with going to heaven as an assurance. Para sa kanila ang kaligtasan ay makatiyak ka lang na pupunta ka sa langit kapag ikaw ay namatay. Madalas ninyong marinig ito sa mga tinatawag nating decisionistic evangelism, na ang kagustuhan lang na katiyakan ay makarating sila sa langit kapag sila ay namatay. Conversion, therefore, in their mind, is that which saves from the punishment of sin, but conversion is not necessarily followed by holiness. Ang naliligtas, makakatiyak ng makakarating sa langit, pero hindi nangangahulugan na siya ay naging banal mula ng kanyang pagkakaligtas. Makikita natin dito ang kanilang pinakapayak na pinaninindigan. And for them, many who are saved yet will not live a holy life. That is just a fact of their experience, and so they accept it and accommodate it and even have a doctrinal explanation for it. Now, they are still guaranteed to go to heaven even if they do not live a holy life, no fruit of the professed conversion. Pero andun pa rin ang garantiya, andun pa rin ang katiyakan na sila'y pupunta sa langit. And you will find in their many writings this assurance expressed in terms of just going to heaven. Here is a book by John Achenberg and John Weldon, How to Know You're Going to Heaven. And it is subtitled Assurance for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. So their idea of assurance is just that, going to heaven. And we will show later that assurance is a much richer Christian blessing in terms of salvation when we study it in the New Testament, but more of that later. But this is the higher life idea of assurance of salvation, and that is going to heaven. So anong maisasagot natin dito sa concepto that there is a gap that exists between justification and sanctification? Well, I say that in genuine conversion, justification has the inseparable fruit of holiness. Kung may totoong pagbabalik loob sa kaligtasan, ang pagpapawalang sala na siyang isang pagpapala ng kaligtasan ay hindi maihiwalay sa bunga nito ng kabanalan. So, we studied this in the long past in this series. Lecture number 5 is about definitive sanctification. At our conversion, definitive sanctification begins. Ano yung definitive sanctification? Just to refresh you, many of the sanctification or holiness references in the New Testament are in the past. Nangyari na. Ibig sabihin ay hindi ito inaasahan pa lang, kundi nasa kaganapan na. Isang limbawa ang 1 Corinthians 6:11, that is what some of you were, that is the sins he described in the previous verse, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Now, you will note the tense used here is what is called in the New Testament Greek as either perfect. Perfect means past that has continuing effects, or aorist, a simple past. But all of these blessings of salvation are considered as having happened. Nangyari na. At ang tinatawag riyan sa theology na definitive sanctification, which means when we were converted, there is a definitive breach with sin. Nagkaroon tayo ng pagpuputol ng ating pakikipag-ugnayan sa kasalanan. Hindi na wala ang kasalanan, kundi ang ating ugnayan dito bilang ating amo, pinapanginoon at na nagahari sa atin ay pinutol natin ang ganyang relasyon. And that is definitive, that is something that has happened in the past. And there is what we call progressive sanctification, which we studied in lecture number 6. At progressive sanctification, as the term suggests, means that there is an ongoing progress of sanctification, which we see in 2 Corinthians 3:18. We who with unveiled faces all contemplate and reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed. Note the present tense, being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. Or in some translations, from glory to glory, which means from one degree of glory to a greater degree of glory. And that is what progressive sanctification is. It is growth in holiness by degrees. So you have both definitive and progressive sanctification as part of what happens when a person is truly converted. Justification is indeed by faith alone. But as the reformers would say, like John Calvin, justification is by faith alone, but not a faith that is alone. Ang pagpapawalang sala ay sa pananampalataya lamang, pero hindi pananampalatayang nag-iisa. It is salvation by grace, not by works. We affirm that. But that grace which saves, which is not by works, nonetheless produces works. And that is clear in Ephesians 2, the verse that we love is 8 and 9. But we must follow that with the same context or statement, part of the context in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. So we affirm that, and all evangelicals affirm that. But verse 10 follows, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So kung paano nandoon ang kanyang plano sa pang walang hanggan pa na tayo ay sasampalataya, hindi sa ating gawa. Gayunman, kasama doon sa plano sa pang walang hanggan pa ay ang ating biyayang tinanggap ay mamumunga ng mabubuting gawa. Huwag din natin kalimutan that when we talk of genuine saving faith, it has the component of repentance from sin. You are not believing in Christ in a genuine saving way unless you are dealing with sin in repentance. And Apostle Paul, in his address to the elders of Ephesus, when they were in Miletus, he summarized his message in the words, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So repentance and faith are two aspects of the same response of saving response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Kaya dito makikita natin ang kamalian na maglagay ng pagitan sa pagpapawalang sala at sa kabanalan. Pero may tamang relasyon sa pagitan ng pagpapawalang sala at ng kabanalan. The relationship between justification and sanctification is cause and effect. Huwag nating pagbaligtarin. Justification is the cause, sanctification is the effect, or you can say justification is the root, sanctification is the fruit, but they are together, they are not inseparable. There is no time gap between. Ibig sabihin, hindi mo pwedeng sabihin na ngayon ka na convert, na ligtas, tinanggap mo ang pagpapawalang sala, pero saka ka palang mag-iisip kung ikaw ay magpapakabanal. O kaya naman, mas masahol ay ang mga nagsasabing you can be justified, you can be converted, and yet never sanctified in your life. That is not a possibility at all. It is wrong to make holiness the cause of justification. So let us be clear about the relationship. The cause is justification, not sanctification. So the cause is justification. Otherwise, if you make sanctification the cause of justification, you end up with salvation by works. However, it is equally wrong to make holiness a mere option of justification. Kung meron kang justification, pinawalang sala ka sa harap ng batas ng Diyos, ay meron itong hindi mahihiwalay na bunga ng kabanalan. Kaya ang sanhi ay ang pagpapawalang sala, pero ang resulta ay ang pagpapakabanal. Ang ugat ay pagpapawalang sala, ang bunga ay ang pagpapakabanal. Walang pagitan, kundi merong relasyon na cause and effects, but not that the one is optional. So, there is a due warning that we must consider here as a matter of beware. To all of us, we can summarize it in the words, no holiness, no heaven. So even if your only reason for assurance or hope for assurance is going to heaven, will you take this seriously? Because no holiness, no heaven, this is so clear in Hebrews 12:14, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. And then it adds, without holiness. Now, in the right translation, without which, but the word which is a pronoun that agrees with that of holiness rather than with peace. So, it is right to translate it as without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So, if your motive rises no higher than just going to heaven, you still need to take this very seriously, because if there is no holiness, you won't even go to heaven. And that is what this text is warning against, anyone who is so complacent and so self-assured about going to heaven because of a decision or for whatever reason. The fact is, without the fruit of holiness, it doesn't prove you to be justified, and therefore you are not going to heaven at all. So that's one key concept, the gap between justification and sanctification. Now they need to explain, what do you call those people who are justified but not sanctified? And this is the second key concept. Being saved without holiness is popularly known as carnal Christian. I'm sure narinig na ninyo yung salitang carnal Christian. Naging popular ito dahil sa diagram na inilagay ng Campus Crusade for Christ sa kanilang very popular material for evangelism, for spiritual loss. You are familiar with this diagram of three circles. The natural man represents the unsaved. The spiritual man is the Christian who has become holy. And the carnal man is the Christian who has not become holy. Our interest is in the description of the carnal man. The carnal Christian here has Christ in his life. You see the cross inside the circle. But the Christ in his life is not on the throne. You can see that on the throne is the ego. And what happens? You will note in the representation of the natural man and the carnal man, the carnal Christian is no different in life from the natural man, which is the unsaved. So sinasabi nila na Kristiyano ka, pupunta ka sa langit, pero ang buhay mo walang pagkakaiba sa buhay ng mga wala kay Kristo. At kahit nasa iyo si Kristo sa loob mo, pero hindi naman siya ang nangingibabaw at nagiging Panginoon ng iyong buhay, ay katulad ka rin ng hindi mananampalataya sa buhay na ito, pero pupunta ka sa langit. So the carnal Christian, to be fair, they are challenging them to be spiritual, but with this kind of thesis, it ends up not being essential. Maaring hamunin nila na magpakabanal ang isang karnal na Kristiyano, pero kung ganito ang pagtuturo nila, ay hindi nila sinasabing napakahalaga, napakalubhang kailangan na magpakabanal. Kung pupunta naman pala sa langit na hindi banal, ay ganito ang mangyayari. So what is wrong with this carnal Christian teaching? This is a misrepresentation of salvation and based on a misinterpretation of 1 Corinthians 3, 3 and 4. Now 1 Corinthians 3, 4, Apostle Paul is rebuking the Corinthians because of a particular sin, and that is of division or party spirit. And he tells them that while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? So there, they extracted the teaching, there are carnal Christians. And by that they mean, in the totality of life, a Christian can be a true Christian going to heaven, but in the totality of his life on earth, he's still a carnal man, a man living by the flesh. And this misinterprets what Apostle Paul is saying. What Apostle Paul is saying is that the carnal Christian of 1 Corinthians 3 pertains to a specific struggle with sin. A particular sin is in focus here. He is not saying that the Christian is dominated by sin in all of his life. He is saying that these people in Corinth, by their party spirit, are living in carnality. That is, they have a carnality to deal with, to struggle. And this is true of all Christians. It is only saying that all Christians have issues of carnality to deal with, or what we have called remaining sin. Remember our Latin expression coming from Martin Luther, simul justus et peccator, and that is what a Christian is. Simultaneously righteous and sinner, which means that every Christian has certain sins they struggle with, a certain carnality that they struggle with, and that is what 1 Corinthians 3 is telling us about. Meron tayong pinaglalabanan na gawa ng laman. But however, a totality of life that is described as carnal Christian is simply not possible. What does the Bible say about such a man whose totality of life or mind is one of carnality? Romans 8:7 and 8 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So this is describing a man outside of Christ. So for a person to simply take or retreat into the self-assurance that he's a Christian, just carnal, is self-deception, and yet many are doing just that. There are, ang tamang sabihin natin, there are immature Christians, and that includes the Corinthians, who were displaying immaturity in their handling of relationship with one another, and then later on about gifts. But there are immature Christians needing to mature, but that is not to say that they are carnal in the totality of their lives. We deal with the maturity. We need to mature. And I explained that when we discussed perfectionism, maturity is a challenge to all. It is achievable by all as we use the means of grace and blessed by the Holy Spirit. But the idea that a person has been converted and yet in the totality of his life still carnal is not a possibility that is contemplated in the New Testament. Being saved without holiness and just retreating into the idea of a carnal Christian, we must reject that by saying that upon believing to salvation, sanctification begins. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 makes it very clear. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Paul puts in juxtaposition these two things because they go together. Where a person is saved, he exercises faith in the truth of the gospel, and at the same time, there is the beginning of sanctification by the Spirit. Everyone in union with Christ has all the blessings of salvation, not yet complete, not yet consummated, but all are guaranteed to a true believer. For all those whom he has foreknown, Romans 8:29 tells us, they justify, and those he justified, they are to be glorified. And what is to be glorified is simply the fullest degree of sanctification. So in between justification and glorification, there is sanctification in the believer. And besides, let us remind ourselves what really is the first blessing of salvation. Many think of forgiveness, or as many as I've shown you think, going to heaven. But that is not it. In the New Testament, the first blessing of salvation is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit guarantees the rest. And that is why he is called the pledge. He gave the Spirit as a pledge. What is a pledge? A pledge is like our down payment, which promises to give the rest of the installment. And to say that a person is saved, justified, and yet there is a blessing of salvation, he is not going to receive that of sanctification, is to say that the Holy Spirit failed to deliver. And that is unacceptable. And the fact of the matter, the sad fact, is that false converts today, and there are many because of decisionism, and confirmed by their adoption of the higher life teaching, false converts use carnal Christian teaching for deceptive assurance. Parang sinasabi nila, Kristiyano naman ako, carnal lang. Kaya tinitiyak nila sa kanilang sarili, pupunta sila sa langit kahit wala silang kabanalan dahil sa naituro sa kanila na sila'y karnal, sila'y makalaman, at hindi nawawala ang kanilang kaligtasan, samantalang ginamit sa salita ng Diyos ang kabanalan na patunay at panukat sa inaangking kaligtasan ni Numan. So, in this matter of higher life teaching, we need to set our thinking straight. The right thinking is to say that the same Christ saves both as justification and sanctification. And for your personal thought and belief, you must be able to say, I am not looking to Christ only for salvation from punishment of sin. If you look to Christ for salvation, also from the reign of sin in my life. That's justification and sanctification. And that will yield the resolve that I will, by God's grace, look to Christ for assurance of salvation from guilt and also as the ground of living a holy life. So, hindi lang tinanggal ang iyong pagiging may sala para magkaroon ka ng katiyakan ng pagtanggap sa langit, kundi tumingin ka kay Jesucristo bilang tagapagligtas sa pangingibabaw sa iyo ng kasalanan sa iyong buhay. Ang maling pag-iisip na pinaiiral ang nananatiling kasalanan ay sinasabi niya that teaching that holiness is not a necessity in true salvation is quite relieving of the demands to be holy. Eh, yun ang nakikita niya. Hindi niya kailangang magpakabanal sapagkat naituro sa kanya o tinatanggap niya ang katuruan na hindi ganun kahalagahan ang magpakabanal. At mauwi ito sa ugali na I accept my assurance of salvation in Christ that guarantees my going to heaven. But living in holiness is desirable but just not necessary to prove I am saved. And where do you think this person is going as to his professed Christian life? Well, he is going to go for the direction of little self-denial. He will not be holy, but he will hold on to the assurance that he is saved because of this higher life teaching. Ang hamon ko sa lahat ay look to the same Christ for justification and sanctification. Tumingin ka kay Kristo para sa iyong pagpapawalang sala at gayon din para sa iyong kabanalan. Kaya ituring natin ang popular na higher life teaching na kamalian. Titingnan pa natin ang ilan nitong mga konseptong mali. Pero sa dalawang tinignan natin ngayon ay meron ng nararapat na babala na huwag nating tanggapin ang ganitong pagtuturo. Magbibigay ito ng maluwag na damdamin para bigyan kang katiyakan na ligtas ka, bagamat walang kabanalan, pero yan ay linlang ng Diablo at huwag nating tangkilikin. Sa halip, si Kristo ay lubos-lubos ng tagpagligtas na mula sa Kanya, meron tayong pagpapawalang sala at mula sa Kanya, bilang bunga ng pagpapawalang sala, mayroon tayong kabanalan. Yan ang mananampalataya na magpapakabanal dahil kay Jesucristo. Maraming salamat sa inyong pakikinig. Sana kayo ay nakinabang. Muli kayong pagpalain mula sa pag-ibig ng Ama, sa biyaya ng kanyang anak na si Jesucristo at sa pakikipisan ng banal na Espiritu.